Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Ecstatic for you to be joining me for yet another episode. Warm air, sunny skies, warm breeze on my face. Now, you might see a little cottonwood if, for those of you who are actually viewing the podcast coming through the air, but that's okay. I'm going to work with it because I am ecstatic to be with you. If you are new to the channel, if you're new to the show, welcome. You chose a superior, excellent episode to join me. Thank you so very much for taking the time and making the decision to join me. I ask you to do something. You know what? Sit through this. Listen. You know what? Form an opinion. But tell someone else about the show and come on back next time. Now, for those of you who have been following me for a while and the ride or dies, or maybe you just joined the episode before, thank you so very much for coming back because you are the reason why I do this. Now, I haven't asked for those of you who are new or returning and it is this, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Now, we've got things to talk about, okay? We need to talk about the Supreme Court and this cute little boy, this very brave little boy. So the Supreme Court has declined to review free speech case involving a student who wore a T-shirt that said only two genders. OK, so in yet another example of our nation's institutions tiptoeing around basic biology, the Supreme Court has declined to hear the case of Liam Morrison. This is that little boy, that young student. A Massachusetts middle schooler who dared to wear a T-shirt stating there are only two genders. Oh, how dare he? Apparently, I mean, he wore a T-shirt that just stated basic biology. Now, apparently, the truth is now too unsafe for public schools. Now, Liam, who is a seventh grader with more backbone than any adults in D.C., was sent home not once, but twice. Two times for refusing to change his shirt. Now, what was his alleged crime? Thank you for asking. Here it is. Displaying a scientific fact that made some classmates uncomfortable, made some teachers, some staff members uncomfortable. A punishable offense, it seems, in today's hypersensitive educational system. Now, Liam's parents, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom and Massachusetts Family Institute, brought the case all the way to the highest court in the land, only to be met with silence. Now, while Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented and rightly accused the court that they should have taken the case, the rest of the bench decided to sit this one out cowardly. And frankly, should we be surprised? This is the same court where one justice famously couldn't define what a woman is, a woman herself. Now, if we can't define a woman, how can we expect them to defend if she can't define a woman, how can we expect them to defend a 12-year-old boy's right to express the most basic biological reality? Now, let's not gloss over what's really happening here. This is important. The school claimed that the shirt made students feel unsafe, as if cotton and polyester are now weapons of mass ideological destruction. Meanwhile, young Liam showed more class and civility than most college professors by taping over the shirt with the word censored. Still, the school couldn't handle it. The message wasn't threatening. It wasn't hateful. It was simply the kind of speech the left would rather erase. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to face reality. They don't want to hear the truth. Speech that doesn't fall in line with their ever-shifting ideological orthodoxy. This case wasn't just about a T-shirt, folks. Let's get that clear. It was about whether the First Amendment still applies in public schools when a student has the wrong opinions. Now, apparently, freedom of speech now comes with an asterisk, subject to cancellation if it hurts anyone's feelings. Welcome to 2025. Where stating a fact is controversial and standing up for it could get you kicked out of class. But hey, in a country where our highest court won't touch this, maybe it's no surprise when some of its members can't tell you what a woman is. Let's move on. Let's move on to this president battle as he is up against Harvard. And I do believe he's winning, as he does. Trump administration asking federal agencies to cancel remaining Harvard contracts. And I know you've all heard about this, but it looks like Harvard's days of gobbling up taxpayer dollars while playing identity politics may be numbered. The Trump administration is asking federal agencies to take a hard look at cutting ties with the Ivy League giant to the tune of $100 million in contracts. After years of race-based admissions, alleged anti-Semitism, and I say that alleged lightly, as you know, and hiring practices that look more like a DEI seminar gone rogue than a serious institution. The General Services Administration sent out the word, find alternative vendors. Here's the translation. Time's up, Crimson. Your time is up. At the heart of it is Harvard's insistence on doubling down on discrimination, even after the Supreme Court smacked down its race-based admissions policies. Now, despite a ruling from the highest court in the land, the school continues to operate under the assumption that skin color is more important than academic merit. What a shame. In 2025, for students in the top academic bracket, Black applicants had a 56% admission rate compared to just 13% for Asians. Harvard may think it's progressive, but apparently progress now includes offering remedial math classes for students who supposedly beat out their peers. Now, I'm going to slow down a little bit on that, and I need to reiterate because I feel like I really kind of breezed past that a little too fast, that perhaps this wasn't clear, okay? For applicants in the top academic tier for Harvard admissions, the admission rates were 56% for Blacks, 31% for Hispanics, 15% for whites, and 13% for Asians. Now, this was according to the lawsuit. Now, Grubaum said Harvard now has to offer a remedial math course, which has been described as middle school math, okay? They actually have to offer now a middle school math course at Harvard for incoming freshmen. He said that this was a direct result of employing discriminatory factors instead of merit, okay, in their admissions decisions. Now, of course, it's not just admissions. The GSA pointed to hiring discrimination under Title VII, internal racial favoritism at the Harvard Law Review, and the cherry on top, folks, an alarming rise in anti-Semitic incidents on campus. And instead of cracking down, Harvard administrators, seem to be playing the fiddle while their ivory tower burns down. Jewish students are facing harassment so severe, it literally is stopping campus operations. But sure, tell us more about Harvard's commitment to diversity and inclusion, right? President Trump weighed in because, of course, he did, posting on Truth Social that he's considering redirecting $3 billion in frozen grant money away from Harvard and into trade schools, where students actually learn useful skills like welding, plumbing, and not discriminating based on your melanin count. And here's what he had to say on Truth Social. What a great investment that would be for USA. Hard to argue with that. Maybe it's time we found people who build America, not the ones who sit in corner offices pontificating about what's problematic. Now, this is soon to be watched. Now, of course, school is out for college students. It's going to be interesting to watch what transpires over the summer and to that returning class. So we're going to keep an eye on these Ivy League schools. Lines, as in cocaine. Okay. Yes, Cocaine Gate is back, folks. I am so excited about this. Looks like the FBI has decided to revisit Cocaine Gate 2023, the powdery little scandal that the Biden White House would probably rather sweep under one of those expensive rugs in the West Wing. Now, according to FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, a name that should inspire more confidence than most bureaucrats these days, The Bureau is reopening investigations that smell like a public corruption, including the infamous baggie of blow that mysteriously appeared near the West Wing entrance. Yes, 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 yes. The one that magically had no fingerprints, no usable DNA, and, of course, no suspects, despite being found in one of the most surveilled buildings on Earth. What a coincidence. Now, President Trump, never one to hold back, weighed in earlier last week with a theory that most Americans were probably already thinking, either Joe or Hunter. Left it. Now, Hunter does have a bit of a track record when it comes to recreational chemistry. And Joe? Well, at this point, we're not even really sure he could tell powdered sugar from anything else. But the real kicker is that after months of supposed investigation, the only solid conclusion the Secret Service could offer was, yep, that was cocaine. Thanks for the update, guys. Next, they'll be telling us water is wet and Kamala's speeches are still painful. But now the FBI wants tips from the public. Yes, that is correct.
We love you, CC!
Aw, got a few fans. got a few fans here. But back to the story. That's right. We the people they want. Apparently the last hope for cracking the case that the full weight of federal law endorsed couldn't solve. Maybe instead of asking citizens for leads, they could try checking up Hunter's iCloud backup or those totally normal paintings he's selling for $500,000 a pop. Oh my goodness, that just completely threw me off. It's awesome out here, guys. One thing's clear. If this had happened during Trump's term, CNN would still be holding live Coke Watch panels with forensic experts and moral outrage. But when it happens under the Biden administration, just another Tuesday at the West Wing Dropbox. And so we need to move on to a subject that I haven't touched. It's going on all around us. You can't get away from it. It's on magazines. It's being covered in the news constantly. It's all over the internet. We need to talk about Diddy, okay? Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs, okay? We need to discuss the Diddy case. Now, for those of you who do not know of who I'm referring to, it's Sean Puff Diddy Daddy Combs, okay? He's got all these names. He's an artist. He's a record producer. He's a music mogul and owner of the brand Sean John. And he has been in the news, like I said. He's been on trial since Monday, May 12th of this year. And here are some quick facts before I give my commentary. Here's a little few things in case you haven't been following or don't know. He is on trial for sex trafficking. And his testimony began, like I said, Monday, May 12th in New York City. Indictments was sealed in September of 2024 and charged the rapper with multiple counts of racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, and transporting for prostitution. Diddy's formal assistant, Capricorn Clark, was called to the stand this past Tuesday, after the trial took a break for Memorial Day. Now, Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, testified in the first week of the rapper's trial. Kid Cudi took the stand on May 22nd, and the rapper and Cassie Ventura dated in 2011. Two male escorts, Daniel Phillip and the Punisher, Sheree Hayes, have also been called to testify in Diddy's trial. No cameras, of course, are allowed in the courtroom during Sean Diddy Combs' trial due to federal law, not to mention the salacious videos that the jury must be witnessing, I can't imagine. And now the latest to testify today last week was Diddy's former assistant, Capricorn Clark, like I mentioned, who on the witness stand was asked about the time she went with Diddy to Kid Cudi's house. Now, during cross-examination, Mark Ignifio asked Capricorn if she remembered telling Diddy that she was going with him so he wouldn't do something stupid at Cudi's house. She couldn't recall and claimed once again that she was forced to accompany Diddy. Now, Capricorn told Agnifio that Diddy allegedly had a very bad temper, but she insisted she still didn't want to go. Now, earlier in the day, Capricorn testified she remembered when the Bad Boy Records founder discovered Cassie with that he was dating Cassie at the time. Now, according to Capricorn, Diddy was very upset and pacing. He was furious, right? He was very hot under the collar, and that was evident to her. She said it looked like he had something in his hand. Now, Capricorn opened the door because he was upset, and part of her job was to make sure the brand and the likeness was okay. So she described Combs was wearing gray slacks, split open at the crotch. He was furious. He was holding a gun, and he said, "Why didn't you tell me who's Scott?" Kid Cudi's real name, by the way, is Scott Miscudi. Diddy allegedly told Capricorn, "Get dressed. We're going to go kill this N-word." Okay. Now, let's get one thing straight. All right. When we talk about this Sean P. Diddy Combs trial and talk about the individual himself. Now, he may not be getting Father of the Year anytime soon, but since when did being a morally questionable celebrity become grounds for a RICO charge? Now, I am by no means saying this man is innocent. In fact, I am not saying that at all. I guess the media frenzy is in full swing here. As you can see, helicopters over his mansion, raid footage looping on cable news, and headlines screaming everything short of hip-hop civilian unleashes chaos. But here's the inconvenient truth. Prosecutors haven't yet connected the dots to actual crimes like attempted murder or racketeering. You can rule out as many grainy security videos and disgruntled exes as you want, but unless something brings evidence, this is just a really dramatic episode of Behind the Music with better done footage. That's all it is. We've seen this show before, folks. Take a high-profile name, stir in salacious details, and let public opinion do what due process can't. Is Diddy a saint? Not even close, like I said. Not even close. I think we've proven that. But last time we checked, being arrogant, surrounded by chaos, or posting cringe on Instagram isn't illegal yet. The burden of proof still rests with the prosecution. And right now, what we're seeing looks more like a character assassination than a criminal case. Now, it's a courtroom, not a confessional booth. And unless someone's got wiretaps, bank transfers, or a smoking gun, we're just watching a very public takedown based on vibe, okay? Let's not forget, we still live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty, or at least we're supposed to. And if prosecutors can take down a celebrity simply for being a sketchy guy with expensive taste and a questionable entourage, how long before they try the same tactics on, say, a political outsider they don't like? Oh, wait, they already did that twice. So by all means, investigate, but bring the receipts, not rumors. Otherwise, let's call this what it is, a tabloid trial with a Justice Department soundtrack. Now, here's the deal. I'm starting to understand that the prosecution is working very methodically. They are slowly but surely trying to compound the evidence to build a case so that there is reasonable doubt and proving to the jury that this was a criminal enterprise. I'm starting to have some second thoughts. But what I'm saying is, so far, unless we actually get people to come out and give names and give us actual evidence, I'm afraid that he's going to get off. And that is actually my fear. So by no means am I justifying Sean Diddy Combs and his activities or his past behaviors or the attacks and the abuse to staff members and women and people in general. What I'm saying is the prosecution needs to do a better job or start getting to the point where there is a smoking gun so that he doesn't get off. Okay. And that, my friends, is the savage truth. And considering this past holiday, last Memorial Day, let's view another episode of Savage Soldiers. Thank you. please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.